Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is good to be here today. I'm happy to see all of you here, and we're going to go into a short time of worship before we study the Word, but before we do that, I'd like to pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this day. We thank Thee for this opportunity to come before Thee and to worship Thee. We ask that Thou wouldst be here with us today, and let Thy Spirit guide each and every one of us. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I'm sure most of you realize by now, the song service is a little different when my mom isn't here. There's no music, but we're going to go ahead and sing some choruses anyway. And if you can find your chorus book, this is the book we're going to be using today. The first chorus I'd like to go to is number 32, On the Other Side. On the other side, treasures there have I, treasures that this world and all its wealth could never buy. And when I reach that city and the gates swing open wide, I'll find my treasure waiting on the other side. On the other side, treasures there have I, treasures that this world and all its wealth could never buy. And when I reach that city and the gates swing open wide, I'll find my treasure waiting on the other side. On the other side, treasures there have I, treasures that this world and all its wealth could never buy. And when I reach that city and the gates swing open wide, I'll find my treasures waiting on the other side. Praise the Lord. And that's what we want. We want treasures in heaven rather than treasures on this world, for that's what really matters, that's what's eternal. Everything we have on this earth is only temporary, but what we have in heaven lasts for all eternity. Praise the Lord. The next chorus I'd like to go to is number 86. I'm going to work and watch and pray. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet Him in the morning. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet Him in the morning. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet Him in the morning. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet Him in the morning. Praise the Lord. It is good to work for the Lord, and we always need to watch and pray. That was a commandment from Jesus Himself. It's always important to watch and to pray so that we're not caught off guard. Glory to God. The next chorus I'd like to go to is number 66, Jesus I'll Never Forget. Jesus, I'll never forget what You've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Praise the Lord. It's always good to remember what Jesus has done for us. We never want to forget that. Well, there are actually a lot of good songs on this page. Why don't we go to 67, the one right below it, Jesus is a Miracle Worker. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in his name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let him work in you. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in his name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let him work in you. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in his name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let him work in you. Praise the Lord. And Jesus truly can do anything. He is a miracle worker. Praise the Lord. The next chorus I would like to go to is 128, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to get into the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Well, why don't we look across the page to number 131. What a day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. And when He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Praise the Lord. And what a day that will be. It's one I'm greatly looking forward to. Glory to God. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up our collection. Could I have a volunteer who's willing to do that? Thank you. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these tithes and these offerings. And we ask for Thy wisdom on how these funds should be used to further Thy kingdom and for Thy glory. We ask that Thou wouldst bless the giver and bless those who are unable to give as well. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And before we get into the Word, I'd like to sing one more chorus. 129, Victory, Victory. Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles. If I hold my peace And let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, victory shall be mine. Praise the Lord. And it is through Jesus Christ we obtain victory. Glory to God. Well, I'd like to get into the Word now. And today we're going to be doing a study that focuses primarily on the teachings of Jesus. And we're going to be spending a lot of time in the New Testament. Actually, it appears that all of the verses I've selected for this study are in the New Testament, so we'll be spending quite a bit of time there. And the name of the study today is By Their Fruits Ye Shall Know Them. And before we begin, I'd like to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to come together to open Thy holy word and to study Thy scripture. We ask that Thy Word would sink down deeply into our hearts, and that we would embrace fully Thy Holy Word and the lessons that Thou wouldst have us to learn this day. We ask that Thou wouldst give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, to begin with, I'd like to open to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at a few verses there. And what we want to focus on today is the necessity to be a genuine Christian. You know, in the United States, according to a recent survey, I believe it said that 78% of Americans claim to be Christian. However, I think if 78% of Americans truly were Christians, we'd have a drastically different country right now. We have to remember that we can't just proclaim ourselves to be Christians, and that doesn't make us Christian. We have to obey the Bible. We have to obey Jesus. Jesus, He said in John 14:15, if you love Me, keep My commandments. And if you do not keep those commandments, then you're not really a genuine Christian, and that's something that's important to remember. There have been a lot of people throughout the ages who claimed to be Christians when clearly they were not. Adolf Hitler even claimed to be a Christian, and yet I think we all realize that was not the case. One thing that is an absolute truth regarding Christianity is no true Christian has ever spilt a drop of innocent blood. And just by that standard alone, a lot of people have been disqualified from that. I know a lot of wars have been fought over the years, you know, claiming to be for the cause of God, and they used God as an excuse to fight their wars, but those wars were not of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Our warfare is spiritual. Praise the Lord. So, you know, just attending church and coming to a building, sitting on the benches, that doesn't make us Christians. No, we need to repent of our sins and obey Jesus. That is how we obtain salvation. Being a Christian is not just a religious identity. It's not a cultural identifier, as some people would have you believe. It's a way of life. And Jesus warned us in the scriptures that not all who claim to be Christian are. And that's what we're going to look at here in Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, when you stop and think about the implications of that word there, few, it says, few there be that find it, which means that the majority of the people won't. It's really quite a thought when you stop and ponder that. It says, few there be that find it. Verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So what Jesus is telling us here, you're going to know who's genuine or not by the fruit they bear. If they're bearing evil fruit, then they're not a genuine Christian. They're bringing forth good fruit. Well, then they probably are. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And that's where I took the title for today's message. And continuing on in the chapter, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So you must do the will of God if you want to get to heaven. That's what it's telling us here. And you know, a lot of people, they claim to be Christians, and as we'll see in the subsequent verses, they prophesy. Sometimes they even cast out devils. They do many wonderful works, but they're not genuine Christians. It says in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's quite profound. You know, it doesn't say he knew them and then didn't. It says he never knew them, which is really quite a thought when you think about it. I kind of got an atheist a little upset with me one time because he claimed he was an ex-Christian, but actually, there's no such thing as an ex-Christian if you forsake the Bible, if you forsake Jesus Christ, you were never a Christian. That's what it tells us right here. It says, I never knew you. Yet the atheist I had been talking to was upset because he wanted to believe that he was a genuine Christian at the time, and even though he became an atheist later on. But that's not the way it works. It says here in verse 23, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And I would like to go now to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at some of the parables of Jesus. It's a wonderful chapter. There's a lot in it. And thankfully, Jesus was kind enough in a lot of these verses to actually explain what he was talking about, which makes it really easy for us to understand. And I'm thankful for that. There's no ambiguity. He explains it, and it leaves nothing to wonder about. So, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 1, it tells us, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So, a multitude had gathered, as they often did, and when Jesus walked the earth, they wanted to hear what he had to say. Of course, a lot of people in that multitude didn't realize who Jesus was. They didn't realize they were looking at the Messiah. They didn't realize they were looking at the Son of God. But, you know, he seemed like an interesting guy, I'm sure, to a lot of them. And they saw the miracles he did, and they wanted to maybe see some of that for themselves. It tells us in verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came up and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and a thorn sprung up and choked them. But others fell in But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. One of the things my dad believed was that a church should never have more than 100 people in the congregation. He based that on this parable because Jesus said, in the good ground, some were brought forth 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And the reason he believed that is because if you have a congregation of more than 100, it's very hard to deal with a flock of that size. Now, I happen to agree with him on that, but I don't know if we're going to have 100 people here anytime soon. I guess anything's possible where the Lord is involved. But it's kind of interesting that Jesus brought that out. Verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? So, his disciples came up to him and said, why are you using parables to talk to the people? And he's going to explain why he was doing that, actually. And the answer might be surprising to some if they've never read this portion of Scripture before. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So that's quite interesting. Jesus is saying that the reason he's using these parables is so that those who aren't intended to understand what he means won't. And those that have ears to hear will understand what he means by these parables. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. We all need to see with our spiritual eyes and hear with our spiritual ears what Jesus is speaking to us. We need to be open and ready and willing to accept the prompting of the Holy Spirit. There are many people who can't understand the things of God. They can't understand the kingdom of God and how it operates. They're just confused. And now Jesus is saying here that the reason he was using these parables was so that those who were intended to understand would, and those who weren't intended to understand would not. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. So, Jesus is now going to tell us another parable, which is quite interesting. Of course, everything Jesus said was interesting, but the parables have always really intrigued me a lot. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. So here he is explaining that parable he told earlier. He's explaining what it all meant, and this really helps us out a lot because it makes it really easy to understand. We got an explanation here. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And we all need to have a deep root in God. We need to be deeply rooted in the kingdom of God, in the word of God. We need to focus on him, because tribulation and persecution will arise You can be sure of that. Actually, there's persecution of Christians all over the world right now. We've gotten by pretty easy so far in the United States, but that's getting worse too. And it will continue to get worse until the very end of time. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Look at that. You know, it says the deceitfulness of riches, which is interesting because those riches, they can actually cause you to lose your faith. They can cause you to turn away from God. Now, if God has blessed you with riches, you don't have to feel bad about it. Just make sure you give him the glory and realize fully that it could be gone at any time. You know, the things we have in this world, they could all be taken away tomorrow. But what we have in God, the spiritual things we have, they cannot be taken away. And that's a wonderful thing. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So, a genuine Christian is going to bring forth fruit, and as we read in the 7th chapter of Matthew, it will be good fruit. It's really quite a parable to just let it soak in. And there are more parables in this chapter, and we're going to continue on here in verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Now look at that. Now you have the wheat, you have the good seed, and tares sprang up right next to it. And Jesus will explain later what this parable is all about. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? For whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. What's sort of interesting about that verse, you know, the tares are referring to the unbelievers, the false Christians, and those who are not genuine believers. And Jesus says here that the reapers will gather together the tares first. What's interesting about that is it kind of destroys the notion that there will be a secret rapture where the Christian believers are taken up before the unbelievers. It says here that he's going to gather the tares first. And verse 31, there's another parable here. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. I don't know if you all have ever seen a mustard seed, but they're very small, and yet they can grow into a very significant tree, a very great tree, and it's quite a thought. Just from a little seed, and we need to have faith, and our faith starts out like a little mustard seed, and it grows and blossoms and brings forth much faith. Praise the Lord. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. What a lot of people didn't realize at that moment is that Jesus was revealing secrets that hadn't been known before, even from the foundation of the world. And some understood, obviously, some had ears to hear. We praise the Lord for that. But even the disciples didn't fully understand all of the parables Jesus spoke of. We know that because they came and they asked him to explain them to them. They asked him to explain those parables to them. And, we'll see what it says here, starting with verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. And as you remember, when he was telling the parable, he allowed the wheat and the tares to grow together until the end of the world. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So some of the people who would profess to be Christians are actually tares. Of course, we don't want to go around accusing people. We don't want to go around talking behind people's backs and saying, oh, I think he's probably a tare. No, you don't want to do that. Focus on securing your salvation. Make sure your faith is strong in God and that your beliefs don't waver. That's the most important thing you can do. You don't want to go around accusing people. And finish up the chapter here, it tells us in verse 44, Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, that which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and sell all that he hath, and buyeth that field. A guy, he's walking through a field, and he stumbles across some treasure, and he's really excited, so he hides it and runs off and buys the field. And the point of this parable is that we should be willing to give up everything we have, give everything we have to the Lord so that we can obtain that good treasure, that treasure in heaven. That's what's most important. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. It is worth giving up everything you have to serve Jesus. And a lot of times he doesn't even require that of us, but if he did, it would be worth it. But yet he bestows many blessings upon us, even in this world. And we should be very thankful for that as well. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. And as I've said many other times, there's no racism in the kingdom of God. It tells us here that are gathered of every kind, that is to say, from all over. And we're not saved by race, we're saved by grace. It doesn't matter what your skin color is, it doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. That's not what saves us. Which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So we see there is going to be a separation. And it's going to be very serious for those who are not of God. It tells us there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And none of us want to find ourselves in that situation. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. When he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? They didn't quite understand who Jesus was. They didn't understand that he was the Son of God. They thought, well, isn't this just the carpenter's son? Isn't he just a man? No, he was not just a man. God, very God, was dwelling inside him. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now they were offended by his words, and they were offended by his beliefs. And when you get offended at Jesus, when you get offended at the word of God, you won't see many mighty works. The unbelief will prevent that. We need to make sure there is no unbelief. And it's silly to let yourself be offended by God, because he's always right and always will be. And you know, we're just humans, we're just man, flesh and bone, dust of the earth. And there's a lot of things we don't see and don't understand, but God knows and understands everything. So, you know, there may be times when God tells you something that your flesh doesn't like, but we need to accept it anyway, because everything that God says is righteous and true, and we need to embrace that. The next portion of Scripture I'd like to go to is John chapter 10. In this chapter, Jesus is going to liken us to sheep. I hope that doesn't bother anyone. Sheep aren't often the most intelligent of animals, but that's what he called us, and that's fine. You know, he loves the sheep, and he'll take care of us, and there's a lot of good things to learn from this parable. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. Anyone who tries to go up another way, well, it tells us that person is the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. We know the voice of God. That's one of the traits of the sheep. They know the voice of Jesus. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And that's another trait of people who profess to be Christians but aren't genuine. They'll follow strangers and they'll fall for a lot of nonsense, a lot of false religion. But the sheep of God, they know the voice of their shepherd. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord, it is through Jesus Christ we obtain life, everlasting life, eternal life, and more abundantly. And that how we obtain that is by heeding the voice of our shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. You know, there are a lot of men who profess to care deeply for the sheep, but when things get tough, they flee. It tells us in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He gave his life for us that we might obtain salvation. It is only through that sacrifice we can obtain that salvation. Praise the Lord. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That's what he's saying there. There's going to be more sheep. That's a wonderful thing. It's good news for all of us. He opened that door for us. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus gave his life voluntarily for us. He didn't have to do that, but he did that because he is our shepherd, and we are his sheep, and he loves us. As we'll see in these verses, the Jews were not happy with what he was teaching at the time. There was division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? That's really amazing. You know, the Son of God was speaking to them, and they thought he had a devil. Those men were not sheep. They did not hear the voice of the shepherd. Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? At least some people had some sense there. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Well, they came up to him and said, Well, are you the Christ or not? Tell us. And of course, they weren't going to believe that, no matter what he said. But Jesus, it says in verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. No one will be able to steal those sheep away from God. If they're true and genuine Christians, if they're truly the sheep, it says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Praise the Lord. It's good to have that assurance. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, the Jews who were present at the time, they were very upset at that statement, and so much so that they wanted to stone him. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. But what they didn't understand is that Jesus was God. He was God and man. They couldn't comprehend that. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Praise the Lord for those who believe. Praise the Lord for the sheep who follow the shepherd and know his voice. We always need to heed the voice of our shepherd, but it's important to remember that not everyone is a sheep. Some are goats. And what we're going to do now is look at Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, going down to verse 31, it tells us, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. One of the traits of a genuine Christian is how they treat their brethren, their brothers and sisters in Christ. It tells us when you do any of these things he speaks of here, when you give meat to the hungry, water to the thirsty, when you take in a stranger, when someone needs clothes and you give them clothes, when you visit the sick, when you visit those who are in prison. It's as if you're doing the very same thing for Jesus. And a genuine sheep, one who hears the voice of the shepherd, will do those things. Will be kind one to another, to our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Kind even to the unbelievers, actually. We should treat everyone as kindly as we possibly can. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a-hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a-hungered, or a-thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It's quite a contrast. You'll either go into everlasting punishment, or you'll receive eternal life. And I think it's safe to say that all of us here want that eternal life. The good news is that we can have it. We just need to heed the voice of our shepherd. We need to obey Jesus Christ. We need to follow his commandments. And don't just begrudgingly do it. After all of the commandments of Jesus are good, and we should gladly obey what he told us to do. But it does tell us in the book of John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's what the sheep will do. Praise the Lord. I'd like to go to one more portion of Scripture before we close. Revelation chapter 3. And in the third chapter of Revelation, there are messages being delivered to certain churches. And the one we're going to look at is the message to the church in Laodicea. We'll go down to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. That's where we'll begin. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's really quite a statement. You know, obviously God would like us to all be on fire for the kingdom. All like us to be hot and not cold, but what's even less preferable than cold is lukewarm. And there are a lot of lukewarm believers in the world today. There are a lot of lukewarm people sitting in churches today. It's a terrible state to be in. It says, because they are lukewarm, he will spew them out of his mouth. It's quite a thought. He would actually prefer that you be ice cold as opposed to lukewarm. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve that thou mayest see, eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's good advice. We all need to be zealous for God, and if there's any sin in our life, we need to repent. And one thing we need to be sure of is that we're not lukewarm. That's definitely not a state you want to be in as a Christian. God will not accept that. He will spew you out of his mouth if you are lukewarm. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, isn't that nice? He stands at the door and he knocks. If you hear that voice, if you hear that voice of the shepherd, if you open that door, if you obey the shepherd, if you obey his voice, it says, I will come into him. And if you obey God, his Spirit will literally come into you, and you will have the Spirit of God dwelling inside you, the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So, that's quite a portion of Scripture there. And we need to heed it. We need to make sure that we never allow ourselves to become lukewarm. You know, if you're going to serve God, if you really love Jesus, and you want to spend eternity with him, it's worth putting some effort into it. Don't be lukewarm. Be willing to give up everything you have for the cause of Christ. Be on fire for God. You don't want to be lukewarm. After all, anything worth doing is worth doing well. And there is nothing in this world worth going to hell over. Praise the Lord. So we need to ensure that we are not lukewarm. We need to ensure that we are genuine Christians. We need to heed the voice of our shepherd. We need to bring forth good fruit. And these are some of the very important lessons that Jesus taught us. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for thy scriptures and for the lessons thou hast taught us. We thank thee for thy parables, O Lord, that thou gavest us so that we may understand the nature of thy kingdom. We thank thee that thou art our shepherd and that thou hast called us forth. And we thank thee that thou hast given us the ability to heed thy voice. We ask that thy word would sink down deeply into our hearts. We ask that thou wouldest be with us each and every day and be an ever-present presence in our life, Lord. We ask that thy will would be done in our lives and that we would worship you and magnify you and glorify you in all that we do. We ask it and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I guess we can close with a chorus. Number 78 in the chorus book, Keep on Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord, and you are dismissed unto prayer.